that there'll be no sum and up at this time, but a continuation of other types. And I understand then that the next subject for consideration would be the Chief Minor of Jordan, the one by Elijah and the other by Elisha. In which case, the meeting now then would be, I'm going to, and most of you have been on that, and we're not tying down the date, but it's a smiting work or a message yet to be given in the future. Then, in which case, the suggestion is now the more untenable thinking with regard to what does the second smiting of Jordan signify? All right, you wanted to make that jump, right, to shorten the time? Rather than the mantle coming down on Elijah and so forth. All right, now we start. Yes.
Could we touch a little bit on the smiting of Jordan?
By Elijah.
Yes, Elijah.
All right.
Which is future.
Yes. In other words, you want to start with future events, but go into detail, even though perhaps many of us have. Yes.
I would just sometime in my own mind like to clarify the connection there must be between the smiting of Jordan and the smiting of the Canaanites. Since the smiting of Jordan does not lead to the binding of their kingdom, it leads to our death. Therefore, it must be the smiting of the image that has the connection as a repercussion from the smiting of Jordan. And I've never been able to connect the two thoughts to the glory of Jordan.
Well, maybe you haven't because they're not meant to be. all right, now we have the spining of Jordan. He folded up the mantle, right, first?
Mm-hmm.
What would that be, the folding up of the mantle?
Concentrating his message of truth. In other words, having a strong, concentrated message of truth that will have the effect of dividing the people at that time.
A compaction or a concentration of the message in a very succinct form so that it would have a repercussive, a sharp, distinct effect when given. All right, now, when he folded the mantle. Yes.
Oh,
sure. Right in.
I have something to do with that one. The robe or the mantle was covered. And Elijah, therefore, leading the church and the covering of the church is the Grand Samaritan. And I see that picture as a message, but particularly of the ransom. And the Jordan River, which is not just a dividing of peoples, but of a particular kind of people, those who are going down into a condition of death. Now, the only thing that could stop or cease the condition of going into death would be the ransom. And so I think that first smiting is a message of the ransom which affects the condition of going down into death. I'm not saying that the application of the merit is applied there at that point. All I am saying is that it is a message which affects the condition of the world of mankind going into death. And that is the ransom.
Has anyone else a similar thought? Yes. Or not? Yes.
It's just a little different. It's from the new comment. And it says, Jordan is judgment. And the comment here, 5846, thus would seem to represent peoples of earth judged by the truth. And then as to the wrapping together, concentration of forces of the smite, which he would feel would be related to the power of the truth as represented by Elijah, who preached before.
We appreciate the brevity of the comments which have been made thus far. Anybody else? Any other thought before going on with regard? There has been a concentration of the message. All right, the water is smitten. They divide, presumably to the right and left.
Is there any significance in that division? It certainly did a dividing work. What did the waters represent?
Peoples,
all right. And now to the right and left, what does that signify?
Division of sentiment.
All right, division of sentiment. In other words, some are favorable and some not so favorable. So there is some sympathy with regard to, or appreciation with regard to the message, and there is also considerable disappreciation or non-appreciation of that message. Right now, they cross over dry shop. Is there anything significant with regard to that? Yes?
I was just reasoning on it. Crossing over dry shod, that they were not affected by this judgment message, either one, that they walked over. And if there really wasn't one upon, directly upon either the church or the great company.
All right, you mean that for a brief period of time, at least until they crossed the river, the repercussive effects was not inflicted upon either class during this transit of the Jordan. Now, here's Elijah and Elisha. What's the difference between Elijah and Elisha? They both walked over dry shod. Yes?
Well, Elijah did the smiting. Elisha did the company.
All right. Elijah did the smiting. Elisha was the companion that followed alongside in the secondary sense. All right, now they reached the other side. What did they do when they reached the other side?
Talk.
They talked a while. And what does that signify? That there'd be, in addition to the relative brevity of the crossing, that there still be, would be a little interval of time subsequent in which nothing especially happens right away. Yes?
What is the message given, which would, on the smiting of Jordan, which is, would result in the destruction of Babylon, really wouldn't destroy either, the hope of either one.
The hope of either one. Any other comment? You can speak 50 times, but make it short. Yes? Go on.
Question. Elisha, does he represent just that part of the great company that are with the true church at that time when they're taken, or all of the great company that come out later too?
I didn't think it represented all, but is anyone a definitive thought with regard to that aspect? Yes?
It seems to be just those that were associated with the faith of one. In other words, those in fellowship with one another.
Yeah. In other words, that's suggested by something else that was told by Elijah to Elisha.
If you see me go.
If you see me go. The receiving of the mantle later was predicated on the closeness of association and of seeing Elijah depart in order to get that special portion of the Spirit. But that would not necessarily disbar others being identified with Elisha, but not in that particular aspect, because it's predicated, if you see me go. Some have said that you have to see him go in order to be Elisha. But you have to see me go if you want that double or similar, not twice, but similar portion.
They do. Their feet. They were walking in the way of the Lord, whereas the systems were not. And they would be destroyed, whereas they would continue walking.
All right, now they're talking. What happens?
Divided by a fiery chariot.
All right, a fiery chariot comes, drawn by horses in the vision. And what separates Elijah from Elisha? Oh, they're taken up in the
chariot.
They're separated by
the chariot. I think it would be severe trial due to a difference of doctrine of belief. In other words, the horse driven that doctrine would be different than the doctrine would stir up trouble and eventually a division.
In other words, the horses aspect would suggest doctrines, And this fiery aspect would suggest trouble that stirred up, as you say. And the chariot would be more the those with organized opinions contrary to that that had been administered by Elijah originally. This is what stirred up the trouble. Incidentally, our Lord's life, what he said near the end, brought about his own death. All right, now next, yes?
Is it significant now there's one chariot and several horses? Is that showing unity at that time?
That could be. I don't know of anything contrary. It sounds like a good suggestion. It's one chariot that comes, indicating, the sister suggested, the possibility that this is a unified opposition. It also shows that Elijah is identified as being the proponent of that message more than Elisha. Because the chariot separated the two, but it was Elijah that was involved. In other words, he would be looked upon as the ringleader or the primary one that concerned those with contrary views. Yes, brother.
And he's asking for a double portion of the Spirit while on the other side of Jordan. I mean, he's
Yes, yes. If you see me go, you recall. What's the whirlwind suggest?
Trouble.
Right, the chariot was trouble. The fiery horses is trouble. The whirlwind's trouble. Yes.
But the church's time of trouble.
All right, the church's time of trouble. Right, just like with Jesus' time of trouble. It was upon him, the crucifixion. And I'm just using this as a frame of reference. Yes?
The statement, if you see me go, would mean, as to my mind, would mean that those have enough understanding of the plan and the conditions involved in the final end to recognize the glorification of the admin of the church. Consecrated Christian probably wouldn't be able to recognize that the little one is born, but some would have enough understanding to recognize it. That would be what is meant by the statement, if you see me go, I think. Not literal. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but would this be about the time when they're asking for the oil? It's on the other side of Jordan after Jordan's missing, and the church is still here.
It correlates with other pictures, but we want to get on with this picture rather than bringing in all the pictures and going over and over again. But you mentioned it briefly. That's the way to do it. Division, right? I can't write everything down in that detail because it would just consume the time. We'll try to do it later. But you say Elisha asked for that mantle, the foolish virgins in the parable asked for more oil. A similarity. All right, now the next thing that we have, that what does Elisha do following the departure of Elijah?
He rents his clothes.
He crosses.
But before that, he cries, "My father, the chariot and horse in Israel," and then he sees Elijah no more, and then he rents his clothes.
Any significance that would be seen in the fact that the archer makes that statement, the chariot of Israel? Yes.
He recognized that the chief representative of God on earth was born, the chief representative. Spiritual agent of God was born. The law, big law.
Yes?
But the chariot is like a means of conveyance of the sudden thing, where it suggests the sudden departure of Elijah, the rapture.
The rapture of the last members, not a physical, but involves maybe some physical violence, but yes.
And we see that the deliverance of the church would come because of the organization and their doctrine.
Yes. and their unified opposition.
And that they were taken by this means put to death.
His father.
Now, this statement about the father and so forth, recognizing that Elisha recognized that Elijah was his superior as far as the Lord's favor is concerned. And remember, originally it says, and he'd be anointed prophet in thy stead. Elijah was the prophet of the Lord, and following his decease, then the promise or hope of Elisha was to occupy the position of authority that the one who previously was particularly recognized as the Lord. All right, now, yes?
It's interesting that the very same statement was made by the king of Israel at the time Elisha died.
Yeah, well,
He was the chief messenger of God then.
To some, the thought of being taken away from the present life suddenly, violently, in fiery troubles would be a terrible prospect. Not so for the Elijah class, 5773.
And the chariot, then, even though it's one of opposition, it's like the Lord's message. It's the Lord's conveyance, because by means of that opposition and death, and the faithful meeting of that situation or experience, it brought about the deliverance. So sometimes real trouble upon a person may be real recognition by God of that, of the person. Be a blessing. All right, now back to the picture where that statement was made with, by Elijah with regard to Elijah. And he then inherits the mantle. What does he do?
He tears his clothes.
He smites it up at the river subsequently. That would be on the return journey, right? If they had went over one way. He's now coming back, retracing his steps. Yes?
Elisha tore his clothes in two pieces in the tomb. It would be like the veil rending, wouldn't it, after by the earthquake and Jesus died?
That's one suggestion. That the suggestion's made that the renting of his own personal attire was significant, perhaps time-wise, with the renting of the veil. Yes, sir.
Thinking also that the church is gone and that he does not have that hope any longer of being of the church.
All right, you would then tie that by inference with the weeping when the door is found to be closed by the virgin. I'm just trying to read your mind. All right, he goes back, Elisha, and now we're coming to the more critical points as far as of interest is concerned, is that now that Elisha is prophet in his stead and is recognized, and what significance is there in that? Notice, what is the call of this age?
to the
church only. There's only the one calling, the hope of the high calling. But when that call ceases, then comes a very unusual thing in that the great company is recognized, officially recognized as a class, but only subsequently. Yes.
And like the sons of the prophets, that they see that Elisha has the Holy Spirit of the Lord that Elijah had, they could see it.
Yeah. All right. There was a manifestation of that. And just, all right. Anyone else to comment before? Now, he comes back and he smites. That suggests that it is a smiting message, right? If he smites the Jordan and Elijah previously did, what is the rather strong, concentrated message, relatively speaking, because it doesn't go into the detail, of this second message? What would this second smiting mean? Pardon me?
Regarding Israel, something.
Right. Anyone else? The suggestion is made that the second message is a message that would more specifically be identified with the nation of Israel, where the first one was more of a public message to a larger element. Yes.
Pertaining to the government being established in Israel and the return of the ancient worthies, perhaps?
But in what way would this be smiting? Yes.
This is prior to the fall of Babylon. When the seat members are put to death, John O'Kissel thinks they've gotten rid of the troublemakers, but then here comes this element that again tells them that the systems are going to fall. And there's to be a World War III in here somehow, too. So wouldn't it be a message of destruction again? A mighty message of destruction? It's not as strong a message as Elijah, because he hasn't followed up the man. But wouldn't there be something about it? A continuation of prophecy going on? Senator?
Yes? Israel certainly is connected with all the world problems, and they may be the only friends they'll have at that time. And if they stick their neck out, and say something favorable, it would really give it into trouble.
Yes,
could it be a message to the nominal church system for more of the great company plans to come out of them before they fall or after they fall?
These are suggestions now, right? Next, back to
I thought last year when something said that the great company was giving a message first, but the second message is closer to Israel. Yeah. But that would be the second message.
I just mentioned it, but back
to dispensation of restitution, blessings to the ancient worthies. Dispensation. Offering the restitution blessings to the ancient worthies.
Yes.
I wouldn't think there would be a message there that is having to do with Babylon from the standpoint that they wouldn't even have the spirit until they're released from Babylon and set free.
That would be my thought personally. Any other suggestions?
Yes? I was thinking the great company would be changed after Babylon is destroyed. That was my thought. Do we know what time this message will be given that's illustrated by the Elijah going up in Babylon? Is it after Babylon destroyed or before?
I think it's after.
But the suggestion was
made before.
I know. I thought it was after.
I personally, that would be my thought.
At the time when Israel is being coming into prominence and into a position of being dealt with by the Lord, particularly, I think.
All right. Has anyone now? There various suggestions have been made. Can I make a suggestion now? That the smiting might be calling attention to the necessity for another Holocaust. That'd be kind of it. But the comfort would be given in connection with it in the sense that it is necessary, but that those who are in the right heart condition might be of a holy remnant who would escape that Holocaust and then be very specially blessed in being a part of the holy remnant. So it would be a message both very hard, but also very constructive. Yes?
And also along the same line, the destruction of the nations, the opposing forces, those who are left, I don't mean as governments as before, but as they will exist in their anarchistic state. The destruction of any host that would make this attempt, and it would be a message like a judgment against them of God.
Would I get the thought that you're saying then, in effect, that it would not necessarily be limited to a Holocaust, but that the smiting would also suggest that the necessity for the world's humiliation and destruction as well? I want to just make it so some people cannot hear as distinctly. All right, now, he smites and he goes over dry shot. But what is happening at this time? Yeah?
Up to this stage, he seems to picture the condition of the great company. After that, he was doing restitution work, so suggesting that he would be a type of Israel. What did happen?
All right, but let's consider some other things. Yes?
First of all, how can you be sure when I was dry shot? It says the word is parted, but it doesn't say that when I was dry down. Can you assume that or not?
No.
Okay.
You cannot assume that. That's my mistake. Any?
No, only one went back.
Elisha.
On the second return. That's a good point.
Yes. But also together that this picture, the death of the great company.
Yeah, but we want to get the biblical account straight first, because that's the first authority. Yes.
I don't know whether it's significant, but where's the sons of the prophets walking?
All right. There's another activity going on that the sons of the prophets are observing. I didn't realize this was getting to be so long, because maybe it would be instructive, yes.
Along that same line, then, it would have a little slightly different picture, the thought perhaps of his death at the time of the message to Jordan before he got to the other side. So then it would change the picture after his death.
There's still more detail which will clarify this. Yeah, the 3 days that he accompanies and so forth. All right, and then next, they observe. The sons of the prophets, right? Who are the sons of the prophet who observe this activity with regard to Elisha? Probably also observe their going over originally as well as the return of Elisha, because they said to Elisha, "Knowest thou not that thy master will be taken off from thy head today?" And he says, I know it. So these activities occurred in a day, parts of a day, the latter part of these stops. So this class who observe, they observe Elijah as well as Elisha, but they are quiet until they communicate now, and they want to know what?
Where's Elijah?
Who are the sons of the prophets? Yes.
I think there'd be people who would know the plan fairly well, love the truth, and are not consecrated.
Right. Well, they're certainly not of Elijah. They're not of Elisha. So, but they are. There's some closeness, identification, knowledge-wise, with some significance of what's going on. Yes.
So, it was suggested last year it could be the children of the consecrated. It could be a spouse of the consecrated, or somebody very close. Good friends that they knew about.
All right, it could be that this kinship or relationship, that this knowledge was possibly acquired through a family relationship or through friendship by others. Any other suggestions?
I'm saying, like, when the door is closed, the time when the church is still here, great company is still here, and there will be people in the world that are coming into truth, but they're not spirit begotten. They're associated. They definitely probably even go to meetings with friends, but they're not of a not praying for the high calling. No.
Brother Russell has another thought on this subject, but he only touched lightly on it without, you know, getting. And we gave it quite a different thought on some part. Can anybody recall?
Consecrated class, not spirit begotten, consecrated through the ages, he puts it.
I'm talking with regard,
I don't know if he put it in mind, but the fact that as time goes on, some of the Jews become interesting.
The descendants of the original prophets, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, that there would be some interest manifest, and sometimes in the parables, certain thoughts are voiced, not necessarily mean that the request will be, like, give us of your oil. They may not come and say, well, in that personalized sense, but it's put in the parable to show the desire to know, and so forth. And it's voiced in order that we might know that there's something going on. Yes.
So, friends, could this include a lot of different classes? But there are many out in the world that believe the divine plan that may just come.
Well, I would think that would be reasonable. That it could, it is not necessary to confine it, but that there is some knowledge based on family, kinship, friendship, and now it's getting a pertinent time with regard to Israel. Well, did I say hand by?
Well, I was just going to say, is this like the watchman of Song of Solomon?
All right. Mm-hmm. The watchman of the Songs of Solomon, who became very interested. What is thy beloved more than any other beloved, O thou fairest among fairest? See, at first, though, they smite. There's these watchmen. And then they noticed the tenacity of purpose of this second virgin class in the Songs of Solomon. And that tenacity of purpose then begets a sort of an interest and sympathy, and now they are interested. The watchmen are interested. Incidentally, good watchmen. And the sons of the prophets were watching. Any other comment? Yes?
They had to be real close, because when they see Elisha coming, they bow down to him, showing respect. They must know that this is the truth. And the pastor does bring out the class that are not spirit begotten, but have made a consecration unto death during that time when the door is shut.
Well, I'm not going to limit anything, but the thing is, these are various suggestions that have been made. Some of them may be overdrawn conclusions, some may not, but we've had many suggestions. Now, next, anything else?
Were aware of Elijah's being taken. The sons of the prophets, they were appeared on the scene several times. They knew that Elijah was to be taken before he was taken.
They knew it, but what I'm suggesting is that while it's voiced back there in the type, that's the way of our knowing that there are people knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. But they may not voice that knowledgeableness in the antitype, but it's expressed in the type so that we may know of this interest in observing and this watching. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. Yes, Brother Jeff.
Are you talking about the sons of the prophets' identification of before the first crossing or after the second?
Not necessarily. We're more interested in the ones when they came back. But
what I'm saying is that Jim understood that Elisha has changed from before the first to after the second. I have presumed all along that likewise the sons of the prophets changed from before the first to after the second.
Well, the pastor has suggested that when he came back the second time, when he reached the other side, that the type changes from the great company to the ancient worthy. Is that what you're
saying? That's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to read in, but make it concise.
Okay, well,
yeah.
What I'm saying is, if you look at the sons of the prophets after the second crossing, I personally take it to be the nation of Israel, having then heard of and understood and accepted the concept of the church, and they spend the 3 days looking for to see whether or not it's not possible for them to get into the church yet.
What proof did the pastor offer that there was this change in the type? Had he done restitution work yet?
Had he done restitution?
And this is what we're talking at this minute about, that juncture in the history.
Well, the first thing. They hadn't, but neither did the ancient worthies when they first pop out of the grave. I mean, there's a time passage before that occurs. We have to.
Yeah, but why can't the type continue until the restitution work is made obvious, rather than to assume that because Elijah, when he smote the Jordan, didn't die, and Elijah, and so Elisha, when he smote the Jordan, does not require the picture of death. And the arguments the pastor has represented on many occasions was restitution works. This searching for 3 days would be, if you think that the ancient worthies, well, it'll take 3 years for them to know that that Elijah's gone?
And let's say the ancient worthies. No. I'm talking to Israelites.
All right.
Elisha is
but the nation of Israel. Whoever it is. Would it take 3 days? It would from the standpoint of before the kingdom. But would it after the destruction of Gog and Magog, when it says, from this day forward shall the nations know I am God, and both the heathen as well as Israel know, from this day forward, then we'd have to shift, you see what I mean? We'd have to shift the interpretation of these. I think it's a little problem. Yes?
Well,
yeah.
And the searching for 3 days, wouldn't there, couldn't there be a relationship between this and, or they were looking for Elijah, weren't they?
Yes.
Okay. And so this, they would have a relationship with Elijah, and Elijah, if they were looking for 3 days, it could be, the days could be years, 3 years.
That's
and three right. actual literal years, that there would be between time, that they would get their understanding, their full understanding right. of the Holy Spirit, and be ready for the kingdom to be in those white robes.
If the 1260 days are 1260 years, why cannot the 3 days be 3 years? And if we use the 1260 days as 1260 years, by inference and comparison and parallels of what had happened in the past, isn't the departure of Elijah more dramatic and exciting because it's now the end than what happened back in the Dark Ages? We're very sympathetic what happened back there, because if you put yourself back there, it was very meaningful for them in that wilderness condition. But that's the church in the middle of its history. Now we're coming to the part that's the end of the career of the Elijah class, and this interest, we're now getting into very, so the days there would be years, I would think. I would think it would be a very reasonable conclusion, yes?
Can we pin down specifically which events these 3 years occur between?
First thing, did Elisha require 3 days to know? It was the sons of the prophets that required 3 days to be convinced or convicted that the that departure was real, his body could not be found. I guess
at first he didn't want them to go. At first he didn't, until they said to him.
No, wait, he wait, I'm a little slow here. Yes.
Elisha at first didn't want the son of the prophet to go search for Elijah.
All right.
But they insisted, and finally he did say, well, come ahead.
Now, then, this would suggest that Elisha was on hand in connection with this pursuit of investigation. Yes, I can hear. But raise it a little higher later, because I don't see it in the pursuit.
Just for clarification, there was a certain class that went out.
You mean in addition to the sons of the prophets?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say the sons of the prophets went. The sons of the prophets asked that they could send 50 strong men to speak to the Lord of the
prophets. That doesn't mean part of the sons of the prophets.
I thought they were. Mm-hmm.
They may be.
And I thought it was also the 50 mentioned elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Again. Identified with the sons of the prophets.
That may be.
Yeah,
early. It's not just all the sons of the prophets.
Well, no, we're not saying that. We're just saying it's the sons of the prophets that are witnessed. We're not saying it's some, we're not saying it's all, but the fact that it says 50, that is a specific number, and we would assume there probably were more. Yes?
The margin says sons of strength.
Sons of strength.
Of the Spirit, to some extent.
I think that's the thought, personally, that they're knowledgeable. And in proportion, as you have knowledge pertaining to the Lord's dealing, in that proportion you're strengthened with the Spirit. The more deeply we're immersed in God's Spirit, the more deeply immersed we're consecrated, the more dedicated. Now this class is getting more and more interest in the specifics. And they're finally set. Yes. They searched 3 days. It has been my thought in the past that the 3 days represented 3 years after the departure of Elijah as the servant of the Lord, and that the great company, it takes a little time for them to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb in the time of tribulation, and that there's a period of time for their development as a scapegoat class. The scapegoat was taken into the wilderness there to die. And if there's a little time element, so the 3 days would suggest, possibly, that is the period of time in which this occurs, and that when these 3 days expire, he then begins to do restitution work because of the nature of the miracles and so forth. Any other? Now, we've had other suggestions. Anyone else want to say anything so we can move on? Yes.
What is the attitude of the people from Elijah's not important of it?
Attitude of what people?
The people in general, when it divided them when they first crossed.
Well, somewhat sympathetic to, and some those that are angered or not sympathetic to. When our Lord spoke, for instance, in the last days, we had the big discussion. There were some who heard him gladly in the temple, and the chairman then suggested that when they heard this message, that the strong part was really joyful to them to hear somebody differ with the system in a constructive sense. But that doesn't mean they consecrated. Those waters that were divided, some have assumed that they represent the division of the truth people. The truth people. But that doesn't make sense because the truth people are Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha are pictured. And waters are used, the waters upon which the harlot sits are people, nations, tongues, so forth. You're not tied down. You have to consider the whole. All right, now the sons of the prophets, this investigation, we assume they are now satisfied and convinced, and then comes these other restitutionary works, which we're not going into now because there's not enough time on. Does that mean? Yes? Do you want to say something?
I was just thinking of the last point is where he comes to this Jericho, he's there. And if there would be any significance to Jericho in the ending of his career. And then the rest of you are picking up there.
It's reasonable, I would think. I don't know if it says that he died in Jericho, because in the type he continues on with other activities. I would suggest that from Jericho and the subsequent miracles he did of a restitutionary nature would show it would then be reasonable. Pastor Russell's argument that from then on the type represents the ancient worthies rather than the great company. The only thing is we make a distinction from the restitutionary work. There was a little gap of activity before that, after having crossed, and that the Jordan itself doesn't represent death in this picture, because Elijah did not die in the Jordan. He was taken up in the whirlwind and the clouds subsequently. So Elisha, when he crossed the Jordan, I don't see the necessity of tying it down to death. He did a few things after he crossed. And in fact, he never died then at all. But the assumption of the change of the nature of the works he did would mean to say, seem reasonable, that he now changes from one type to another. But does that mean that while Elisha had crossed, and this type does change, where Elisha was previously the great company, and now the ancient worthies because of the nature of worship, that from then on he never represents the church?
No. Mm. Oh.
Because he did other works that were not restitutionary works, which we have this in Moses. Moses did a number of things. In some pictures he represents Jesus, the church, the Christ, the second death class, and all this is in different parts of his life. So types, you have to, like, I forget the name they use, but when you get a series of events, sometimes gets obvious, this is the staging area, this is the time slot or the picture frame in which the interpretation is given. And that same individual or class, later in another time slot, does other types of work where he might represent something different. Yes?
Ezekiel and Jesus. Then, I remember last year we said that, or somebody said that Elisha then would represent the ancient living.
Yes. If, now we're getting into the other picture, maybe this would be the logical place to go into the anointing of these three. Because in Second Kings somewhere, a commission was given to Elijah to... 1 Kings, 19th chapter, verse 15, where the Lord says to Elijah, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehulah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room, or stead. And notice the sequence here is different, which is interesting, because sometimes we're tied down by sequence where that may not necessarily be the case, as in this case, this is an instance, because actually he dealt with Elisha first, and only, actually, because he died after Elisha accompanied him from behind the oxen and then went to Jericho and these four places, and then they crossed the Jordan, and then later he came back. Elijah was caught up into heaven. That picture, Elijah never got around to actually anoint two. And Elisha was only anointed in one sense when he was originally called from the field, in a more realistic sense, to be prophet in thy room or stead, when he inherited the mantle that Elijah left behind when he departed. So now, the fact that Elijah, the church class, are commissioned to do this particular work, it certainly, we can be sure that he is credited with the anointing, even though he may not have literally, actually anointed these three, all three. Yes?
That would seem to be the thought, that even though it wasn't carried out, that the work was done by Elijah was given that, and it was still the message that he gave, the message that was given by Elijah. Was it not?
Yes, well, you're being like on the principle of Jeremiah, where the Lord tells Jeremiah, you're to break and destroy kingdoms as well as build some up by your message. And he never went to these foreign nations, which he told, I'm not saying never went, he probably sent messengers to them in the study of the book of Jeremiah. But he's accredited with informing them and being involved with their captivity, because